Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10, and Psalm 14 from the Old Testament. Luke chapter 15. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and then rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having the 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is a joy in presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents. Psalm 14, "Whose said in the hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt, they do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good." The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Have they no knowledge? O they evildoers, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord, there they shall be in great terror, for God is with the company of the righteous. You will confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that the deliverance for Israel will come from Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, Jacob rejoice. Israel will be glad. Here end the reading.
Good morning. It is so good to be back at Crossroads. It has been a long 3 years. A lot has happened these 3 years. And if I go into that, we'll be here the whole day. And thank you for this opportunity to speak this morning. It is really a great honor and a great joy. And I feel humbled, and it also special meaning to me to be having the lector today. It's Kyoko Hamamoto, who is also a member of the church that I attend and I'm a member of in Kyoto. And I've known for many years since she was a student, theology student. So it is interesting how many of our worlds connect in different places, and these really sustain us, and they certainly sustain me. And of course, being so far away from Crossroads or Hawaii in my daily life, I also feel very much connected to you all, and I thank you for that. You are my family here. I heard about Ehito Kimura's wonderful invitation to the offering a few weeks ago. In fact, he sent his script to me, and I thought, hey, he should give the sermon this morning. He shared a bit about the Bazaar Cafe, which I will be talking more about this morning. And Linda gave a wonderful introduction of me. Thank you. And some of you know me very well, but as Linda said, just a short version of what I do in Japan, for the sake of others who may not know me. What I do as a mission co-worker, we call ourselves mission co-workers these days, sort of new, not missionary, which I think it's okay to use too, but we're mission co-workers. And I serve as a mission co-worker with the Global Ministries of the United Church of Christ in Japan. And my mission assignment is to teach social work at a Christian university called Doshisha University in Kyoto, Japan, which is where Kyoko graduated from. And I teach about community organizing with minority populations, international social work issues, and about social problems in Japan relating to especially migrant workers and other discriminated minority groups, and other gender-related violence and other issues. And as a mission co-worker, I have been involved in operating the coffee house ministry called the Bazaar Cafe, which is a joint project between the United Church of Christ Global Ministries here and the United Church of Christ in Japan in the Kyoto Conference. The cafe was established in 1998 with a special focus on supporting those with HIV/AIDS, as well as migrant women, and also people with differing sexual orientations, with various disabilities and illnesses, and now a greater emphasis or focus on those recovering from alcohol and drug addictions. The concept of the cafe was to create a physical and a social space for those marginalized in society to be together in a safe and accepting place and to be able to connect with others, the wider community. The cafe also serves as a place for the community, for the people in the community, like students and teachers, artists, social workers, and others, to meet and support those in need and learn from each other also. The biblical inspiration for the cafe is one of sharing the table with all of God's children, just as Jesus did. If you are ever in Kyoto, look us up and enjoy the delicious Thai, Filipino, Korean, and Indonesian food, and our own very popular loco moco that we have. It's very popular, and it's cooked by our chefs, who we employ as part of our job support program. The lectionary for this Sunday offered me a chance to look at the ministry of the Bazaar Cafe through the two parables, the lost sheep and the lost coin. And the parables this morning in Luke 15 are two of the three parables. The third is the parable of the prodigal son, which is not a part of the reading today. Luke 15 starts off with the Pharisees and the scribes grumbling about Jesus, mingling with the sinners, and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And with the parables, Jesus sets the record straight about who God is and what God is like. Jesus was criticized by the Pharisees, but basically says, "Yes, I dine with sinners, but God is just overjoyed with that, and God is overjoyed when the lost are found." First, looking at the parable of the lost sheep. In his book, The Parables of Jesus, German theologian Joachim Jeremias explains that when a sheep strays from the flock, it usually lies down helplessly and will not move or run. So when the shepherd finds the missing sheep, there is nothing for the shepherd to do but to carry it on its shoulders. And so it was more likely that the lost sheep was an especially weak one. Jeremias writes, "Such is the character of God. It is good pleasure that the lost should be redeemed. Their wanderings have caused God pain, and God rejoices over their return home." And next, with the parable of the lost coin, the woman loses one of 10 coins, or drachmas. Again, according to theologian Jeremias, the 10 drachmas were equivalent to 10 days' wages, and would remind all who are familiar with Arab Palestine of the woman's headdress, decorated with coins as part of her dowry. The woman was probably poor, and the loss of the coin is a big loss. She lights a candle because the windowless dwelling was dark, and as she does not want to call attention to the fact that she has lost this valuable coin, she quietly uses a palm twig rather than a broom, which might make the coin tinkle on the floor, and that would cause attention to her. Both the shepherd and the woman represent figures from the underside of Jewish society in that day. One can imagine that the loss of one sheep or one coin has greater weight for them, so they persist in the search. And when they find what they have lost, they rejoice. These are stories of divine mercy, the great joy of God when the lost are found. The searching also gives value to those being sought. They become treasured and significant because they are not left for lost, but are made the objects that God is concerned about. So these stories offer good news to those who feel themselves hopelessly lost and who can delight in a God who patiently searches, doesn't give up. However, it upsets those offended by the remarkable generosity of God, especially when it reaches out to tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees believe that the separation of good and bad people preserves a community's sense of righteousness, and good and bad in quotes, of course. Jesus's failure to observe such distinctions seemed to some as dangerous to the moral and religious fiber of the community and very radical. Theologian Howard Thurman, in a sermon on the parable of the lost sheep, reflects, "Now Jesus says that God is like the shepherd, seeking always to find those who are out of community with their fellows. And when they have found it, when they have found their community with their fellows, then all the world seems to fit back into place and life takes on a new meaning." So this leads me to the Bazaar Cafe ministry. Over these 20-some years, we have our stories of people feeling lost, losing a sense of community, but then finding a community with us. Our store manager, Reka, is open about her story. She was raised in an abusive environment at home. She started drinking at a young age and got involved in drugs, into drugs also. She worked at nightclubs and had a child, but raising the child as a single mom was hard. One day her boyfriend, who was HIV positive, said he was going to go to Kyoto to see a pastor who a friend of his highly recommended him to see. This pastor was Teruko Enomoto, the founder of the Bazaar Cafe, who was a pastoral counselor for those with HIV/AIDS. So Reka tagged along with her boyfriend and ended up settling in Kyoto with him. Through Teruko, her boyfriend became connected with the Bazaar Cafe and was later hired there. Reka was not so interested in associating with people at all. She felt self-conscious about her addiction problems, and so she at first reluctantly came to the Bazaar Cafe and did not mingle, did not talk much with anyone. Months passed, and she found herself actually enjoying the time there. People did not ask her questions about her past, and she found the people there kind and fun to be with. Little by little, she felt she could open up, share more about herself, trust people more. Then the cafe staff suggested that maybe she, too, could work a shift at the Bazaar Cafe. So 10 years ago, that was 10 years ago when she started coming to the cafe, and then she entered an alcohol and drug rehab program, and since then has been clean and sober. She leads the kitchen team, providing a delicious menu each day, also serving as a counselor herself to others like her at the cafe who are living with addiction issues. Reka talks about finding herself, finding her voice, feeling for the first time in her life that she is accepted for who she is and finding purpose in life, even with her various identities that society tends to shame, like being an addict, an unwed and single mother. Those things at the cafe don't matter. Those identities just don't matter. Another staff at the cafe, who I will call Sam, is a gay HIV positive man with a drug addiction. All three of these identities, being gay, HIV positive, and a drug addiction, are stigmatized by society and make him a minority three times over. Sam says that the Bazaar Cafe has offered him a purpose, a place where he is always accepted and welcomed, even with a history of being in and out of prison due to drug use. At the cafe, at the Bazaar Cafe, we see our ministry as that of accompaniment. To be there alongside one another through the ups and downs of recovery or whatever other else gives you struggle in life. We are all there with our own vulnerabilities. When someone is doing well, like with recovery, being living a sober and a stable life, all seems to be going well. But then something slips, and like starting to drink again or using drugs again. We do not reject them for that, but want to be there for him or her unconditionally. I want to say a few words about how the Bazaar Cafe has been during the pandemic. Even during the pandemic, though we had to close our cafe for some months in the spring of 2020, we felt that we had to keep open for the people who depend on us. So we kept paying them their monthly wage and had them do other things in the kitchen, like in a safe way, wearing masks and sanitizing and keeping 6 feet apart, that kind of thing. We gave tasks that would be needed, like cleaning the yard or doing chores around the cafe. And we met and talked together on our deck, giving enough space and ventilation. We felt that was very important, that we are a lifeline to so many people. And so that if we closed the cafe and closed our doors, that maybe we would lose some in another way. And in fact, we've had our share of people taking their own lives. And so, you know, I shared two stories, one Reka and one Sam, that are sort of maybe success stories in terms of how they found community with us. But we also have our stories of those who we thought we were in touch with and being there for them, but took their own lives or left us, and we don't know where they are. So it's not all pleasant or happy endings. But we felt during the pandemic that we needed to keep open. So that was a big financial, challenge for us, because we kept supporting them financially, but we didn't have any income from the cafe. So we did a crowdfunding. We gathered funds and got enough to keep us going through that period. Now at the Bazaar Cafe, we are back open, and we do require people to wear masks if they're talking, and we have people spaced apart. The seating is a little bit more less crowded, but we are getting sort of back into a more active activity. So we're sort of beyond the worst, but we still have to be very careful, because we're a place with people with various illnesses, and we have to be careful about COVID safety. But anyway, I guess what I'm saying is that COVID in our community here too, I'm sure, and it was a reason that made isolation another social problem. That people were not able to see people, and it caused more isolation. So that is one thing we were very aware of, that we need to find creative ways to not isolate from each other, and especially those who we wanted to reach out to, to make sure that isolation did not happen to those who need social connection. So I believe God rejoices with us when we are welcomed into community or back into our community after being lost. God rejoices with us. And accompaniment, I would say, is the model of mission that the Bazaar Cafe is all about. And in fact, I would say that in Global Ministries of the United Church of Christ, mission is accompaniment. The Gospels today help us to understand what God wishes for us in our communities: to search for the lost, to hear the anguish around us, and to rejoice when the lost is found or when there is something else to rejoice about. And that is how God is for us in our personal lives as well. God will find us and rejoice with us if we are open to that call, to that accompaniment that God provides for us. I know, too, that Crossroads hears the anguish in this community, as well as the wider global community. I am also aware of the various ways that you accompany one another, and that this accompaniment extends to the wider community as well. I want to thank you, Crossroads, for your support of mission here, your support of me as a mission worker in Japan, and your support of mission around the world in various ways. So let us continue to search, let us continue to find and to accompany, and also let us continue to rejoice together. Amen.